Welcome to Brands and Campaigns, the stories and people behind clever marketing moves, powered by EKR. I'm your host, Camden Bernatz, Creative Director and Head of Brand Strategy at EKR. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we got him here. If you remember episode one of this podcast, I was talking to Adam about the nature of this show and the kind of things we wanted to talk about. And I just floated the idea out there. Like, remember that Oreo tweet that happened during the 2013 Super Bowl? That's an example of like what happened during the behind the scenes. Like, people had to have been scrambling a little bit. That was such an interesting moment. I'd love to have someone involved, you know, to talk about that. Probably won't happen for a while. And I'm pleased to announce that it's happening. We got someone involved. And so just briefly to set up again what I'm talking about before I introduce my guests, hopefully you've heard about it if you've been in the industry for a while, but there was a moment during the 2013 Super Bowl in which during the game there was a blackout. There was a delay in play, and obviously that is unusual, and especially during the biggest game of the year, not only biggest game from a football perspective, but the advertising game as well, right? All kinds of brands are paying lots of money for ads on the air, on the airway and getting their time to shine. And Oreo, the Oreo Twitter account, and remember this is 2013, so it hadn't been around forever that brands had been engaging on social media. Oreo quickly came out with this tweet in the mid the power outage when everyone's on Twitter figuring out what's going on, when the game gonna come back. And the tweet said, "Power out, no problem," and had an image of a Oreo just basically in a dark kind of room or a dark setting, and it said, "You can still dunk in the dark." Perfectly timed to the moment, very quick to respond, and a time when people were on social media trying to figure out what was going on with the blackout. Needless to say, went viral, has been referred back to, written about a lot as just kind of a important moment or hallmark moment in brands utilizing social media effectively, especially for real-time response to events. And to introduce our guest, we've got Mike Nuzzo here with us, who was creative director overseeing the Oreo brand at the time, the Oreo account. And he's going to tell us a little bit about what happened in this moment and what we might be able to learn from it. So, Mike, thank you for joining the show.
Oh, Camden, thanks for having me. it's the work that keeps on working. I just sat in on a class. A friend of mine teaches a class in advertising at the University of Colorado. So I just sat in and spoke about this again. I guess we're at 10 years, so it's kind of become more of a history lesson than a lesson in what we do. And it was interesting to see, you know, these young minds. I sound like such an old guy, but these young minds, like, you know, they had all obviously known about it because now it's almost part of curriculum.
Yeah, it's like it's in textbook.
A lot of people are teaching it. Actually, I was dating a girl last year and from London, and she told me that her brother learned about it in school.
For real?
Yeah. So it's just like it just keeps popping up all over the place. And there's, you know, there's a boon and a bust to it, or a boon and a bane, you could call it, to the work. Because, you know, I'll just tell you, and I know you've probably got questions and we can go through a chronology of it. Probably could have saved everybody and you guys a lot of time and just sent you the link to the DigiDay old history instead of doing this. But I remember we were at the One Show Awards. I think it had to be over a year after. What was it? I can't remember. This was May or April or May the following year. And we had been racking up so much for it. And there had just been so much conversation at that point about the brand. They were actually groans in the audience.
And, oh, really?
And I was like, I was looking at my CCO at the time and I was like, "You go." I'm
not going. You're right, though. It's like, wow, obviously this made an impact. That's good. It's you don't want people to have to be groaning talking about it or thinking about it again. But if you are so synonymous with a certain topic that people have to groan, like, not again, that means you did something right, right?
Yeah, no, look, I mean, you know, at first there were a lot of detractors saying, "Well, it was just a tweet." And then you kind of go, "Well, I mean, guys, we're in creative. Isn't your job supposed to be opportunistic and find where you can make a difference and where you can show up and where you can be smart?"
Exactly.
Now let's be realistic about this, though. Like, we had already been doing that alongside our partners at FCB with during the Daily Twist. You know, take nothing away from them. I mean, you go back to the origins of what made the Daily Twist the Daily Twist, and it was the work that they had done previous that, you know, we had talked to them about doing something in social with the visuals that they were doing to, you know, talk about what was going on every day. Obviously the dailiness of it, mm-hmm. the real time. And I will say too, just to sidebar, RTM, hashtag RTM became almost an eye roll of hashtag after that. And kind of like, you know, every time you kind of joke about something, you'd be like, RTM, real-time marketing. But, you know, leading up to that moment in the Super Bowl, and then they're still doing work like this. Uh-huh. You know, they've kind of slid back a little bit into the CPG-ness of it as far as, you know, the work that they do. But I think the digital stuff has still remained, you know, trying to do really cool things. Friends over at, you know, that did the, like the Norway seed bunker, their survival, you know, if the world comes to an end, Oreo is still safe. So there's still folks doing that kind of stuff. But again, it took a lot of work to get to where we could do what we did. And again, it just comes back to, we set ourselves up to do creative, everybody. It doesn't matter where it was and what it was.
It wasn't like you were prepared to let this quote unquote simple thing be simple because you did all the the preparation to get to where you were prepared to do it. So talk about that a little bit, if you would. My understanding from reading what's been put out there is you had kind of a task force, a team that was prepared specifically to be tweeting during the Super Bowl in some capacity, right?
Well, yeah. And I just go back to where this all started from, you know, June 25th, 2012. And before that, coming up with the idea for the Daily Twist. And, you know, again, you know, for that effort, we worked very closely with our friends at FCB. But again, the idea was to, every morning, what's in the news, and we're going to talk about that every morning. So, you know, we had our team, they had their team, we did certain things, they did certain things. But, you know, what this started to do was started to build experience and muscle memory, and like, this is how we work now. You know, Oreo was one of, at the time, I think like 12 brands I was running in my group, you know, so I also had to have, you know, good people. Uh-huh. Really good people working, because I was not something that I could be watching every single moment. But we started to build that experience of what was good and what wasn't. What did we want to talk about and what didn't we want to talk about? And we had started to build this newsroom atmosphere. I mean, it got to the point where I had almost three teams working, I would call it around the clock, but they weren't there at 2 o'clock in the morning. But if something happened at 2 o'clock in the morning, by six, there was emails or texts going around. You know, that went on from June 25th for 100 days, whatever that turns into. I think it was sometime in August or September. I can't do my math. You know, and then we were doing other stuff. You know, there's other amazing work that, like, honestly, some of my favorite Oreo stuff is not the Daily Twist and not the tweet, to be honest. Yeah. Maybe that's because I just talk about it so much, but, you know, maybe that's a podcast for another day, you know, the whole ecosystem of Oreo for that time. But, leading up to the Super Bowl, you know, the client had invested, you know, everyone talks about, you know, billions of impressions, no money spent. Well, but that's not entirely true, because there was a whole lot of money spent leading up to that.
Yeah.
And without that, you know, look, you can get lucky. Of course, you can get lucky. But there was already eyes on us, you know, that put all the eyes on us.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of eyes on us already. I mean, the first post from the Daily Twist, the rainbow cookie, that set the world on fire, you know? And that led into what we could do then. Boom, boom. I mean, I think there was an article or a cover of either one of the trades that said, what's Oreo going to do next?
Hmm. We'll figure it out.
You know, can't better than that. Like, I mean, you want to talk about pressure, but you also want to talk about, oh wow, guys, we're onto something here.
Yeah.
So that led us into that night and prepping for that night and knowing what was going on. And we had a lot of things prepared. We knew, Beyonce was doing halftime, and you know, we had stuff prepared for who was going to win and who wasn't going to win, and you know, all that kind of stuff. And you know, we always on the back of our minds thinking of, hey, if something happens, but there's so much going on, there's so much that people are paying attention to, we weren't really thinking of being reactive. We were just thinking of like doing our jobs and doing mm-hmm. them well and having good creative and having a solid night. You know, we had an agency there. We had partner agencies there. Our media, I was a rep or two from our media company, and I think somebody from PR. And the names of the agencies at this point elude me because I'm getting older. And this was 10 years ago.
It's been a while, yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while. And we also had client in the room. You know, a client that was excited to do things. And you know, again, when you talk about exercising your muscle memory to take more risks, we had those kinds of clients in the room. So when that presented itself, you know, really the only risk, and I've said this, and it's interesting that you said it, you know, we got it up quick. I would put quick in quotes. We were actually not the first to market on purpose. We had the tweet done in 30 seconds. Like legit 30 seconds. It was done. That's a testament to the you know,
did you have the visual ready to go for something, or did you like?
We didn't. It got put together really quick. I think
it's always very simple, but like,
yeah. I think my art director Roberto Salas was already working on something that was blacked out.
Put a black gradient, yeah.
Yeah, and then you know, I was actually. There was already emails and things going around. Like the minute it popped, popped off. I am. Not even kidding you. I was sitting in a swivel chair, you know, not petting a cat or anything. I was sitting in a swivel chair in front of the screen. And I had, you know, had a few beers and I had a few when I was, you know, still a carnivore eating a pulled pork sandwich. And as soon as it blinked off, I spun around and I looked and I was like, we should probably do something. And then we spit out a line and my copywriter, Nick Paniatopoulos, Nick and Rob, by the way, have gone on to incredible careers. And we put that thing together in 30 seconds. And then we sat on it because we wanted to make sure, like, honestly, like a busload of orphans didn't crash into a transformer.
It wasn't like a terrorist attack or something.
No.
Like that. Yeah.
And, you know, it goes back to being careful of what you're going to do. And what, you know, I remember my client, she's great. I will not mention her name in case she doesn't want to be mentioned, but she's awesome. I'm still close friends with her. She was so excited afterwards. She was like, what are we going to do next? And it was, you know, it's cliche, but I said to her, no, what are we not going to do next? Because everybody did everything next.
Yeah.
Everybody did everything next. And we really chose our spots. I mean, it was so good. I don't know. I would never, again, to this day, I would never duplicate that. I mean, we did some amazing work after that for some other brands because of the work that we did on Oreo. I mean, the doors flew open and we had everybody knocking on our door, literally saying, we want what Oreo has. Like those words came out of multiple mouths.
Wow.
So
That makes me think about, like you mentioned earlier, like people, it got brought up and people, there was kind of a groan, like, oh, this again. I wasn't there, obviously, or in all of their minds, but I imagine what happens is I haven't groaned at it. Obviously, I'm very interested in it. I asked you to be here. But I think where maybe some of that groaning comes from is the people who say, I want what Oreo has, and thinks that what you had was just perfectly duplicable. Is that a word? Like repeatable?
Yeah.
I think what you mentioned, like the preparation and being ready to respond to something, that is doable. You can put that much effort and have process in place.
But the work's got to be good.
Yeah.
Right. Because like, again, I'm not going to mention the brand, but there was, you know, there were two or three, maybe even four posts that went up before. We weren't the only newsroom in town. You know, people had learned either from us or they were starting at the same time that we were starting to do that kind of work in social. You know, again, it's 2012, 2013. You know, Facebook and Twitter had been around, but they weren't really. I mean, I think we were still getting out of gated Facebook apps around that
and
time.
Brands, so,
I mean,
especially had not utilized it well.
No, they hadn't utilized it well, and you know, we had a one of the other brands that went up before us was, you know, kind of like, if you had our LED lights that we have on our, you know, in our cars, you know, you could see the game no problem. And it was just kind of like, wow, you know, don't, yeah, you're trying to literally sell a product here. We were just trying to sell, we were selling an experience. And that's, look, that's what we did from the minute we flipped the switch on 100 years from Twist, Lick, Dunk with Grandma and Grandpa, which is still do, which, these, you know, and we did, but we had, you know, the whole point was, hey, we're losing kids from, you know, 13, 14, 15 years old because they're not going out buying Oreos and they don't buy them again until their parents. But where are they? They're in college eating Doritos. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, if you get the munchies, you could eat us too. So we made that conscious decision to start to flip the switch, especially in social, to something like that. And, you know, it paid off.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And especially being the Super Bowl, it's you, this food snacky kind of item was really, a really good fit for that kind of moment to capitalize. Right. LED light, no one, it's irrelevant to the game, but
it's irrelevant. Yeah. So to finish that point, I drifted off. We were selling the brand and we continued to sell the brand, not sleeves of cookies. You know, you could argue that we turned Oreo into one of the bigger entertainment companies in the world for 2-3 years.
Yeah.
You know, everything we were doing was about entertaining our client, you know, not our client, our market, you know, or at least a segment of our market, you know, that segment that was, you know, now older TikTokers, or, you know, they were moving into Snap at the time.
And, yeah.
You know, learning how to use social in a totally different way, you know, so.
Okay. So the tweet goes out, right? When you do decide to do it and you're monitoring it, what's the room like? What comes next?
Oh, counting. I mean, we were counting retweets. I mean, it was like, you know, hitting send. I mean, we weren't nervous about hitting send. We'd hit send so many times on good stuff. We knew we had something. We just didn't know we had that. And when you think about, you know, we had 15,000 and change retweets by, I don't know, the end of the game. When you think about that being a bar for Twitter back in the day.
Yeah, that's
2013. It was literally like, we broke it. And, you know, we ended up actually in Twitter's IPO. Should we be calling it X? No, we'll call it Twitter.
Yep, it was Twitter back then, yeah.
we'll call it Twitter. We're actually in their IPO because of that work. Because they just showed what the power of Twitter can do for brands. You know, and then I don't know if it was a year or maybe less than a year. I can't think of the year specifically, but the next one that kind of shook the foundations was the Ellen picture for Samsung, you know, and everyone, okay, yeah. Remember that when she did the selfie at,
yes.
Was it the Oscars or something? I guess it was the Oscars.
Some event.
Like, yeah. And everybody was in it, like Jennifer Lawrence, Brad Cooper, you know.
Yep, that was like the most liked one for a while, right?
I mean, I think it got hundreds of thousands at that point, you know. And the question everybody was asking is like, was Ellen doing it or was it for Samsung? Mm-hmm. And ultimately, it was for Samsung. But so we, you know, 15 and change hit a bar, so it was really just sitting there counting, and then, you know, excitement. And we had to go through the process with legal to make sure that everything was cool. And again, waiting to hear the news, you know, we had every news channel possible we're listening to find out, you know, if we could get confirmation on what it was.
Yeah.
Nobody was dead, honestly, like everybody was okay. Pop the tweet up.
So was there, I'm very familiar with the tweet itself, but with all the different interactions afterward, was there comment management? Was you engaging with people afterward or responses to it? Or did you just kind of let it marinate?
To be honest, Camden, I can't remember exactly. We didn't have to do anything.
Yeah.
You know, okay. There was so much pickup, like literally so much pickup from it. Like it was probably as big, if not bigger, than the Rainbow Cookie. For Daily Twists. I mean, because of the, you know, strangely enough, because that it was the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And because of what it did.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, it'd be a big deal no matter what, but you're doing it during the game when people paid millions of dollars for a 30-second ad that didn't get talked as much as your tweet. And that was
the story. And that was truly the story. You know, and then you go back to like, okay, yeah, but we set ourselves up for that. And a lot of people were involved setting ourselves up for that from media, from PR, from FCB, from our team. It's a lot of people at work to get to that point in time to be ready.
Yep. So we talked about before how people have other people tried to, they commented and were saying things during the game that didn't get as big. Along the same lines as just brands and social media, with how it's advanced where we're at now, do you think if this tweet happened today, would it do the same thing?
No, it wouldn't. Nobody wants to hear from brands anymore on Twitter. And Twitter is, we'll start with Twitter, but I would say social in general. And this is my opinion. Mm-hmm. Now, having been in this space for over a decade, and doing some really big work in the space in over a decade, and seeing big work and appreciating it and seeing what works and what doesn't. I don't know. I couldn't say for sure no, but I would gamble no, because I think we've gotten past brands engaging in things that seems contrived now.
People understand that there's the people behind the scenes, kind of like your team was. Shouldn't make it less entertaining, but we all kind of know, this was planned. This is advertisement still. They still see it as that, as opposed to engagement, right?
Yeah. And obviously, you get a lot of detractors from our industry, everybody,
that's true.
Everybody's a hater. Unless you work on it, you hate everything, right? That's not entirely true. I mean, I love so much work, but if it's not your work, it's not your work, you hate it. You find reasons that it was stupid, or they shouldn't have done that, or this, that, the other thing. But I do think that, the way things are now, it's not a space for brands to be cute like that. I mean, you still have brands doing their thing. I don't even know. I honestly dumped off of Twitter right before mm-hmm. the purchase. It's just such a toxic political environment right now there. There's no fun to it anymore.
Yeah.
A lot more. If you go to Instagram, nobody wants to see brands. Everybody wants to see cats and mm-hmm. Lord of the Ring memes and the dog, the driving dog on a green screen. It's all about what humans do and the things that we do, and how everybody's an advertiser now, everybody's a creative. Probably none of the memes that we see, none of the things that we see on Instagram or even Twitter or wherever are created by folks like us.
Everybody's got
a forum now. So it's kind of scary for us when you think about it.
Yeah. And how fastly the whatever was trending, the new thing trends tomorrow. Things don't last the way they
do. Nothing lasts. That's a great point, Camden. Nothing lasts. If you get something to last a week, it's it should be probably in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
but now you've got campaigns that last, that they can keep bringing out there, that people know, follow the, taste the rainbow.
Yeah.
I don't care how tired some of us in the business think it is. I don't. Look, I think they keep doing the right thing, or get Brian Cox to do ba da ba ba ba. there's obviously, celebrity is important now. I mean, it's kind of like the 80s. I feel like when you were like, is that Gene Hackman doing the voiceovers? Now you've got people back in doing the voiceover, of everything. So there's the game. I just don't think brands can do the kinds of things that we do with that kind of success.
Yeah.
Wendy's started doing it really well, obviously.
Burger That's what I was going to say. This reminds me of a different usage of it, but another kind of owning of a moment or a style, I guess, in Twitter is Wendy's Twitter, and just roasting people, right? And people have tried to kind of copy that, but it's Wendy's.
Well, DiGiorno had their moment, and then you had the Little Debbie's, and Moon Pie was wow. But again, in that time, Little Debbie's and Moon Pie, but when they can now have a forum that people go, that's amazing. RIP Tumblr, but Denny's Tumblr won awards because it was so good. Denny's, so I think again, and I probably get eviscerated for saying things like what I'm about to say, but I think the golden age of social for that is over. I just don't know if it can be used like that anymore, where people would care. It's not that the work wouldn't be good, but would you be able to engage the same kind of people that you're looking for? I don't think so, because that range of folks has either ranged out or they're ranged into TikTok, and they care more about celebrity, and they care more about, you know, other kinds of things than what a brand has to say.
I feel like this is a little bit off topic. Social media, because of experiences like Oreo, which was a good usage, but the downside is that people started to see the economic value of social media. And it's not just, what I'm saying is it became, even for the non-brand, just the individual, it didn't become just social. It became transactional, where it's, I'm trying to promote something, or I'm trying to gain followers, or I'm trying to become, everyone's trying to put their stuff out there more than they're actually consuming what else is out there. It's all about putting their own stuff out there.
Well, you make a really good point. And I would use the example, just from a personal experience, you know, when we picked up HBO after all the Oreo stuff, you know, and I'm going to sound like a total douchebag with this story, but I was literally sitting on a beach in Cannes,
nice,
picking up awards for Oreo. And I got a call from one of my account directors, and we hopped on, I'm going to say, I'm going to date myself, and we hopped on Skype, and, you know, froze in hand. He was like, hey, HBO just called. They have this little brief. I'm going to tell you now, it's not that exciting. What are your thoughts? I'm like, it's HBO. Let's do it. I won't get into the story, but ultimately that led to, you know, 360i and my team launching Game of Thrones for however many seasons, six seasons.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, The Leftovers, True Detectives, all those shows. What those social engagements, in perfect word, engagement, what that social needed to be was engaging. It wasn't just about, I'm going to put this post up there, which is really what we did with Oreo. We had some things, like whether it was snack hacks or some other stuff, where it was a little transactional. Like our snack hacks ideas got so, like, they were fake, but they got so much popularity and people loved them. We made them. Like physical things, and we gave them away for Black Friday and Cyber Monday. But really, you know, Oreo was kind of a one-way conversation. HBO became more of a two-way conversation. Hmm. We put things out there, whether it was Roast Joffrey, you know, where we were asking people to basically roast the internet's most hated villain in a kind of online version of a Comedy Central roast. And, you know, unsolicited, we had celebrities and brand, we had everybody engaging with us, you know, for their, whether it was 15 minutes of fame or other brands exposure, you know, they wanted to use that platform for exposure. So there was a two-way conversation. And then we had to come up with another idea of how to use social in a new way. So we gamified Twitter and using tweet retweets and likes and stuff as like almost buttons on a, on a PlayStation, you know, joystick or something for people to try and catch a dragon. So even a year or a year and a half or so beyond everything we were doing for Oreo, and we're still working on Oreo overlapping with HBO, you saw the evolution of where social needed to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously plenty of people were still just doing static posts, and we were, and, you know, making videos and vines and all that kind of stuff. But you had to have more of a value exchange, or 15 minutes of fame, or I need to have fun, or I want to press this, or I want something to happen, or I want a reaction, or something like that.
What you said right there, provide value is the key, but it doesn't have to necessarily be crazy, unusual value. Like the Oreo tweet provided a moment of like, oh, like just kind of a little chuckle. That's valuable. And that's enough 100%. To like, I'll reshare that. If you're just asking for stuff, or do buy one, get one stuff, like your brand, if there is any life on Twitter for brands or on social media or anything like that, it's definitely not doing that, right? It's not just say, hey, we're still here in your way, please buy from us on this platform as well.
Well, because Oreo is a, honestly, to this day, it's still a universally loved brand.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody loves Oreo cookies. I mean, maybe you're not an Oreo cookie eater, but like, you're not going to sit there and go, oh, that, I don't, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they're all about, or I didn't see those as I was a kid. So when you have that kind of brand, you already got a little bit of that love locked in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're just trying to drag it out. But like,
it's a fun product.
Yeah, but for that night when you're also – right. And I do think that there was something to that because, you know, we had – I think the brand categories were we had a soup, we had a car, and I think we had – I would say nowadays probably insurance would play better because all the insurance companies, I could argue there's some of them are doing really, really good work. Some of them are doing terrible work, but some of them are really doing good work. I think those were like the categories. So it wasn't like a very exciting category. Categories of auto, you know, auto and soup.
Yeah. There you go. I have to ask, were there Oreos in the room? Were Oreos being consumed?
Honestly, there were always Oreos in the room, but it's not like, it's not like jelly beans at a Van Halen concert. Okay. Like, right. They weren't like only the green jelly. We just couldn't eat them anymore.
That makes sense.
There were definitely folks that were, loved the free Oreos, but and I loved Oreos too, but it got to the point where I was like, I can't do anymore.
Makes sense. Well, you've covered a lot of great insights, especially as someone who has been involved with various brands utilizing social media specifically in various ways. Kind of as a summary, looking back on the last 10 years and all the conversations you've been giving about this event, is there any main like takeaways or insights or even like warnings or anything that if you were, what's kind of your send-off message for anybody who's looking at this and trying to like learn from it, I guess?
Well, look, I think we went over a bunch of that stuff. I think the strategy from the beginning really led to this, right? And it was like, let's not do the same old stuff for the same old target, right? Millennials were like kind of the word of the day. Now it's Gen Z and Gen Zennials and whatever you want to call them now, but millennials were the word of the day and they simply weren't responding to the work at the time. You know, I was at Razorfish when this business was put into review and what they wanted was so not interesting. What the client wanted at the time was kind of like, this is not going to be good work. They actually, we let it go out the door. Little did I know, 6 months later, I go to 360i, and then six months after getting to 360i, they, you know, my CEO came to me and said, hey, we need to fix this brand. But I do think having, you know, good minds and clients that are willing to take risks, and we certainly had that. Yeah, I could get into that with the twist, and that's where it really all started for this. But like, you have to have solid strategy and differentiating strategy and clients that are willing to do the work, because you could have the best work in the world. If you don't have a client that's going to bring it to life, you know, you've seen work, you know, either get killed or death by a thousand cuts, or, you know, the end product looks nothing like what it did from the beginning. I mean, we had very, very little work that went out the door that was pushed back or killed from when we started to when I left that business. I rolled off the Oreo business in at the end of 15, and then I moved to LA and I opened our office out there. So I was really handling all West Coast business at the time. But again, to learn from it, I guess don't be afraid to do work that you think feels, I don't know, small. Because it's not. If it's good, it's good. It doesn't matter where it is, where it lives, how big it is. You don't have to spend $1 million to make good work. You know, and that's been proven more probably in the last 10 years than in the last 100 in our business. Yeah. You know, the platform helps, but the days of a client saying, make me a viral video, because if you put it on the internet, everyone's going to share it, which isn't true as we know. You know, that's over. But, you know, the platform is still powerful if you do the right kind of work.
Great. Well, yeah, great case study of knowing your audience, knowing where they're at, being prepared to respond, like all that stuff came together in this little magic moment, obviously. And, it's easier, again, I'm repeating myself a little bit, but what I don't want people to take away from this experience or this, tweet and is that, okay, if I do the exact same thing, I'm going to get the exact same result. Like, you have to be unique. You have to know how things have changed. And that's what gets the groans is that, oh, well, I'm just going to tweet about whatever happening in the news right now. And therefore people are going to go viral. Like, you have to capture lightning in a bottle with some preparation to you know, a big enough bottle to catch it, so to speak.
Yeah, I would say that these days, you know, it's also about how provocative can you be without getting canceled.
That's true.
You know, it really is. You know, there's something to that, because there is, you mentioned it, you hit the nail on the head earlier when you said, if things last a day, you're lucky.
Yeah.
Because everybody's looking for the next thing. There's, you know, so you have to really find a way to get their attention. And it's difficult.
And a lot of what does go viral or last a little bit related to brands is created by the customer, not the brand. Like the McDonald's Grimace shakes and those things that were going around.
100%. I remember
the Stanley cup and you seen that one in
yes.
car that burned down.
Of
that
course. Wasn't Stanley cup
that made that. Yeah.
Well, I go back to, I don't know if you remember, who is, what's, is it Jack Links? Who's the Bigfoot? Who's Sasquatch?
Yeah, I think so.
What brand was it? Was it Jack Links? I can't remember. There's so many jerky brands.
Right to me.
But I remember when somebody, this is going back to, geez, my Razorfish days. So this is like in 2009, 2010, maybe a little later. Somebody took Sasquatch and started putting it into like backgrounds and like enlarging it, and like they basically hijacked it. So yeah. Like that's when you're a brand, and we've talked about this literally in meetings, going, now if we can get the customer to hijack this,
to make it their own,
that's
yeah.
your win, right? That's your win, where we don't have to keep creating contrived content or produce content that we just keep shoving in their face. If we can let them make something out of this,
because then it's entertainment. It's not advertising. It is. Look, it functions as advertising, but it's not coming from you. So they.
I worked on Diageo too. And, you know, anybody listening to this or yourself, anybody who's worked on spirits, I'll tell you, it's one of the hardest segments to get great work done. And not to say there hasn't been a lot of great work, but it's tough. Smirnoff was one of the brands I ran, and we tried to bring icing back so many times because it was a consumer, when you ice somebody, mm-hmm. it's not meant to be a good thing, but we're like, hey, maybe we could turn this around. And, you know, but it's, you're right. It's those moments that become like these cultural things, you know, where right now Smirnoff is known for icing somebody probably more than anything else.
Wow. Yeah. The psychology of it. Well, thank you again for being here and talking about this and talking about something you talked about before. We know it's not the first time, but we love to get behind the scenes here. And as for anybody who wants to kind of follow what you're up to, work you're doing, get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
I mean, they could just look me up on LinkedIn. That's always the easiest. My book is I'm actually working on the brand side now. I left agency couple of years ago. I get up there in years, I have sort of different goals,
mm-hmm.
but you know, I've got a couple of businesses on the side, but if my LinkedIn and also just my name.com, michaelnuzzo.com has this work and a lot of other Oreo work and HBO stuff. And, you know, a lot of stuff that I've done over my career.
Yeah. I hope it's not insulting to have you on for their one tweet. I know we love to have you back.
It's
you've done lots of great stuff tweet one time, but this is a good story.
No, it's a great story and it's a big story. So like, if it was just about me coming in here and saying, yeah, we got into a room and we made a tweet that we got lucky, that, you know, that would be one thing, but you know, there's a head and a longer tail to this story, you know, and, you know, 360i did a lot of great things. And, you know, I can attribute a lot of the work that came after and the growth of that business and the growth of that company to the work that we did on that brand. So I appreciate you saying that. I am definitely not, I definitely don't feel any way about it. I do love talking about it. It's a really great story and there were a lot of good people involved and, you know, this is your Bellini, right? Here's my Bellini.
Perfect. And we specifically did want you on because someone who was involved in the room, like we could go find someone from Oreo maybe, but like they weren't necessarily the ones who helped the sausage get made. And so that's the insight we wanted.
So, you know, there was 15 people in the room between creative and client and other agencies and stuff like that. But I think over the last 10 years of my life, I've gone to conferences and heard talks and everything. And the folks that continue to say they were in the room, there's 60 people in the room now, Cam. Then there's 60 people in the room. There's 15 people that wrote it. There's 10 people that designed it. It's one of those things where you just kind of smile.
That's funny.
You know who was there and they know who was there. And it's fine.
Well, we appreciate that. Check Mike's stuff, his website, and follow him. He's got lots of good stuff he has done, and I'm sure more good stuff to come. And if you've enjoyed this episode or any of the episodes you listen to, we appreciate you to subscribe. As always, leave us a 5-star review, maybe share it with someone you know. And we look forward to having more conversations with people like Mike and campaigns and brands that have some good behind-the-scenes stories. So join us for the next episode. We'll see you next time.